This lecture presentation on mercy and forgiveness is presented by Dr. Jan Mensink, the senior physician at the practice in Bakersfield, California. Dr. Mensink hopes that we will consider the freedom available in forgiving those who have injured or abused us and consider offering them the same level of mercy that we want God to offer us.
This morning we're going to talk about something that happened in my life that changed my life totally. And today my goal is two things. Number one, I want to hopefully change the paradigm with which you look at life. And number two, I'm going to give you six tips about this paradigm that will make a major difference. It was late 1996, and I had gone through some serious losses in my life, things that had gone very, very bad for me, things that I won't talk about, but were unjust, wrong, and it looked like the curse of God was on my life. I remember kneeling down by my bed, praying. My spiritual life was down here, and I was getting beat up by the evil one. I wasn't living on this plane of the spirit-filled life. You know how Peter talked to asked Jesus? He said, "How many times, Lord, do I have to forgive someone?" How about in Jewish tradition, three was okay. And if he still sinned after that, you didn't have to forgive him. And Peter said, "I'll be generous. Lord, would seven be okay?" You remember the story? And Jesus said, 70 times 7. And I remember laying on the floor, crying out to the Lord over besetting sins that I couldn't get victory over. And wondering, is Lord, am I approaching the 490th time that I've asked forgiveness for this crazy sin in my life? You know where I'm at. We've all had this. I had no victory in my life and no Christian life that was worth meaningful. I didn't see power. I didn't see wonderful things happening. Luke 3:16 says, "I baptize you with water." This is John talking about himself and Jesus. And he says, "But Jesus will come and baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit." We love that text, right? We love it. But we forget the next verse. And it says, "His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he's going to clean the threshing floor of our dross in our life." And frankly, that hurts, and we don't like it. 2 Corinthians 10:5 has an interesting thought. It says, "Bring every thought captive in my mind." You see, Jesus speaks through our thoughts. If Jesus can speak through our thoughts, the devil can too, right? In fact, I came to the point I had to face the fact that 80% of my thoughts were negative, accusatory, condemning, judging, critical, judgmental. I'm not proud to tell you that, but it's true. I wanted to talk and think about the injustices that had happened to me in society. Where does this come from? Genesis 3:6 or 3:5 has an interesting text. You all know the story. Eve is in the Garden of Eden, and the evil one comes to her and shows her the fruit. There's two trees in the garden, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That tree of knowledge of good and evil, they're not to partake of. We all know the story. And something interesting happens. Satan comes to her, "For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like," and the original is not a capital G, it's a little g. "You will be like a little God, knowing good and evil." In fact, part of that's true. You see, up until that time, Adam and Eve didn't know the difference between evil and good. And once they partook of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they became like little g gods, able to see the difference between right and wrong. Something happened at that time that we don't think of. Because now, all of a sudden, Adam and Eve had been living on this plane of communion with God, spiritual intimacy with God. And they broke that relationship and they went down to this plane where they now knew what judgment, condemning, injustice was all about. Before that, they didn't know it up here. That plane of Satan is always justice, judging, and condemnation. You see, there's a mercy plane up here of intimacy with God, communion with Him. And then there's a justice plane down here where Satan works. Satan can't come up to this mercy plane up here. He can only work on us down here in Satan's arena of justice, judgment, and condemnation. And that happened at the Garden of Eden. Satan always works through our lives in the justice area. Always. Luke 6:37. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. You know, it's really interesting in the original, but it between each one of these is a colon. Think of it that way. It's like, if you'll do this, this will happen. In fact, 6:38 has a very interesting text. We want a new church here. We want to be blessed, right? Judge not, you won't be judged. Condemn not, and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And the next verse says, give, and you'll get this fantastic measure like you've never thought before. $10,000 in one day. You see, we live on this plane of justice and judgment and condemnation. And God says, listen, there's this plane up here of intimacy with me where it's mercy for me, mercy for you. Not mercy for me, but justice for you. See, mercy for me and justice for you is Satan's playing field. And frankly, most of us Christians are living down here and we're getting the crap beat out of us by the evil one. You see, Satan can't come up on this plane of mercy for me, mercy for you. Down here is this plane of justice, of judging, of condemnation. You see, justice is good, but mercy is better. The mercy plane is the blood of Christ. And we're going to look just a little bit further and to see some interesting things about the blood and the cross and what happened, because there's some fantastic biblical principles that most of us don't think about that. The justice plane is an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. See, that's God's plan for man before the cross. But the cross's plan is mercy for me, mercy for you. Not mercy for me, justice for you. And I found I was living my life, mercy for me, but justice for you and for these people that hurt me and did all these bad things. We don't think of great measure of blessing of God being tied to giving that is tied to forgiveness, that is tied to lack of condemnation and lack of judgment. He says it very clear. If you want to judge, you will be judged. If you want to condemn, you will be condemned. If you don't want to forgive, you won't be forgiven. But if you give, you might get blessed. There's a prerequisite to the blessing of God in full measure. There's a prerequisite, and we forget about that. Exodus talks a lot about the sins of the fathers. And there's this magnetic pull in our lives. It's like we can't get over it, of the things that our fathers and mothers, grandfathers, grandmothers didn't live up to, didn't get the victory over, and they follow us in our lives. And if you study this, and I don't have time to go into it real deeply this morning, but if you study this principle, it is based on the fact that they lived on this plane of judgment and justice and condemnation, and it's going to go passed on to your kids if you're on that same plane. You see, we carry years of baggage. And the law of sowing and reaping works. There's this stuff going on. And the only escape is the mercy of Jesus and be willing to forgive others to release the Spirit in our lives. You remember the story of Jesus gave of the king and the debtor? This man owes piled big bucks to the king. In fact, in our economy, it's like this man owes $3 million, and he doesn't have it. You remember the story? He goes to the king and he says, Lord, Lord, please, I fall on my knees. I want forgiveness for the debt. I can't. I've got a family. I've got kids. I don't want to go to prison. I don't want to. And the Lord says, I forgive you. It's all released. You see, he went and he said, Lord, I want mercy. What's the next part of the story? You remember the story? He goes out to the guy that owes him $30. He grabs him by the scruff of the neck and he says, pay me. And the guy falls on his knees and says, I've got a family and I can't. Please have mercy on me. And he says, to prison you go. What was it? See, God wants us to live on a plane of mercy for me, mercy for you. But that man said, I want mercy for me, but justice for you. And the story's end is that his mercy was taken away. See, God says you can't have it both ways. Mercy always triumphs over justice. Always. The most grievous thing to God today is the negative judgments and condemnation in the hearts of Christians. It's helpful to see our debt to God to understand what's happening. You see, our greatest debt and the greatest crime in this earth was not Hitler's 6 million Jews. It was not Stalin's 30 million in the purges. And it wasn't Mao's 60 million. The greatest tragedy that happened on this earth was my forefathers, your forefathers, took Jesus, who was God, and nailed him to the cross, where he bled and died for 6 hours. Jesus wasn't not just good, he was God. And he died on that cross to atone for yours and my sins, our immorality, our pornography, our backbiting, our lying, our desire for justice, our desire to condemn, our desire for a critical spirit, our desire for unforgiveness. You see, when we go to the courts of heaven, we go to the Lord and say, Father, I've got this great big sin. I can't pay for it. I want to settle out of court. I want mercy, God. I want the blood of Jesus Christ to cover my sin. And God says, I'm glad to give you mercy. Enter into the joy of my Father. But he says, if it's mercy for me, it's mercy for you. You see, you can't go to God and say, I want mercy for me, but justice for that jerk down there that got me. It doesn't work. God says, I will give you all these things, but you need to live in this plane of mercy where I refuse to condemn, I refuse to judge, I refuse to do anything like this. And you know what God says? If you'll do that, he says, I will treat you as if you never sinned. Wow! That's powerful. All that crap and corruption and dross and junk we've got in our lives. And he says, I'll treat you as you never sinned. It's gone. But it's living on that plane of mercy for me, mercy for you. Not mercy for me and justice for you. Mercy always triumphs over justice, but what do you prefer this morning? The grace of God lets us live this out. It's a gift that you have to receive. You can't get forgiveness and work it up. You only receive it from the gift of God. The only way out is mercy and forgiveness for all. At the cross, there were two groups of people. One group said, get those murderers. Another group said, I want justice for those people that are killing them. And another group said, I condemn these people that are killing the Lord. He's innocent. There was one other group consisting of one man, Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember what he said as he's dying on the cross. There's two groups of people, these people that are living down here on the plane of justice and judgment. Satan's playing field. And Jesus says, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Garden of Eden again. That tree of knowledge of good and evil. Essentially, he's saying, you now have the wisdom to be able to judge someone. That is being a little God with a little g. And when I play and live on that playing field of justice and judgment, that's Satan's playing field. And believe me, it's hard because we get beat up down there. But when I'm willing to live on God's playing field where it's mercy for me and it's mercy for you, phenomenal things happen. Years ago, I worked for years in Hollywood Presbyterian in downtown Hollywood. There's lots of gays there. The gay lifestyle isn't so gay as most people think. There's a lot of nonsense going on. It's the third largest ER in LA County. It's one of the wildest. We had almost 24-hour police surveillance there. A bad place. I went to work there, and I didn't understand these things. The gay people would come in, or others too. And it was like they knew. There was this wall. You want to talk to the Lord, they'd frankly curse you and hit you. I remember seeing a gay priest who was a pedophile that had AIDS, and he's dying of AIDS. And I'm thinking, you got yours, mister. Right? Yeah. I wanted mercy for me, God, but justice for that jerk. Right? Until I had to realize this principle. If it's mercy for me, God, it's mercy for that priest. I need to love him. I refuse to condemn you, sir. I refuse to judge you. I refuse to ask for any justice for you. That's God's business. And you know what happened? I never told anybody about this change. And it was like magic. All of a sudden, I'd have these gay people coming in. And I mean, all of a sudden, I'm talking and they say, listen, aren't you a Christian? You must be a Christian. Will you pray for me? I know it's wrong. I need help. Because people know when you're living on that plane for mercy for me, but justice for them. They know it. We can have a choice this morning, and we can live on that higher plane. You can live on Satan's plane, Satan's arena, where it's justice, judging, and condemning. Or you can live on that spiritual plane up here where it's mercy to all. I refuse to judge. I forgive all. I refuse to have anything to do with wanting justice for these people. I'm willing to accept everyone. You see, Jesus defeated Satan, and he has the power over the devil. But we have to choose his plane. We can't live and choose to play on the devil's playing field. The devil's playing field always is mercy, justice, and condemnation. I want to put up several tips for you on the screen. Tip number one, we usually judge others in the areas that we have been hurt in the most. Think about it, it's true. We usually judge others the most in the areas we've been hurt in the most. Tip two, judging others can have an incredible hold on your life, and you will only get rid of that spirit of judgment and condemnation once you realize that I can only go to the throne of God and ask for mercy for me and mercy for everyone else. Because if I try to go to the throne of God and ask for mercy for me, but justice for this guy, it won't work. Tip number three. If you're living under condemnation this morning, it means you're in Satan's playing field. There is no condemnation up here. Satan's playing field is full of condemnation because it's down here, it's mercy for me, God, but justice for you. Number four. My judgment holds others in bondage. You see, we don't realize that when we are Christians, and I want to live on the playing field of mercy for me, but justice for everyone else, it's like I tie the hands of the Holy Spirit to work in not only my life, but other people's lives. The typical story of the woman who's got a husband who's an alcoholic that beats her every day and is terrible, and she's a Christian, she goes to church, and every Wednesday night she's at prayer meeting and she's praying, Lord, save my husband. He's such a jerk and he does this to me and he does that to me and does this to me and does that to me. And 20 years she prays and her husband never gets saved. The minute she comes to the point, she says, I refuse to judge my husband for his alcoholism. I refuse to talk to him anymore about that problem. I refuse to condemn him. I refuse to want him to get his own up. I only want blessing for this man. I refuse to judge him. I want the Holy Spirit to judge him. All of a sudden, we untie the Holy Spirit's hands, and within weeks, a man is at the altar crying and giving his heart to the Lord. You see, we control often the willingness of the Spirit to work. Because we're going to the Holy Spirit and saying, Lord, I want to be Holy Spirit. I want to condemn and judge that person. And the Holy Spirit says, oh, hold her. Go ahead. You're playing down here. You're on Satan's playing field. Number six, tip six. Oh, okay. Sorry. Number five. We can constrain or release the Holy Spirit in someone else's life. We can release or constrain the Holy Spirit in someone's life. I want you to remember the story of Stephen and the stoning of Stephen. Stephen is one of the early apostles of a Christian church, and he is being stoned, killed. He's in the process of being murdered by well-believing people who believe they're doing what's right, who are living on the plane of mercy for me, justice for you, Stephen. It looks pretty deep and pretty bad. Stephen's going down. And you know who is holding the coat of the priests who are stoning him? As a young man called Saul, who is actually becomes Paul the apostle who wrote most of this scripture. He's holding the coat. He's egging him on. Stephen understands this principle we're talking about, because Stephen says, has his last dying words, "Father, lay not this sin to their charge." See, Stephen is saying, "God, it's mercy for me. It's mercy for these people. It's mercy for the Apostle Paul, the guy who's going to become the Apostle Paul, Saul there. I refuse to judge Saul. I refuse to condemn him for egging these guys on. I refuse to do anything like that, because I want to release the Spirit in these people's lives." And out of it we have the scripture, most of the New Testament, and the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest apologists for Jesus Christ in this world has ever seen. Tip number six. The enemy, Satan, only lives in the area of justice and judgment. He can't reach us up here when I'm living in that plane of mercy for me, mercy for you. You can have victory over sin when you're willing to get out of this arena of mercy for me, justice for you. You can have a victorious Christian life. You don't have to fight those battles over and over and over. When I'm willing to live on that plane of mercy for me, mercy for everyone else. God commands us to bless and curse not. The most important thing is that if you don't deal with this, you're going to pass it on to your children. 1 Peter 2:23. Jesus is dying on the cross. This is God dying on the cross for my sins and your sins. He has every right to judge and condemn these people that are putting them to death. But even Jesus, look at that text and read it. He refused to judge when he was on the cross, and he said, "I release this judging to the Father so that I can release the Spirit on these people." See, Jesus knows, I refuse to live on that plane of justice and condemnation. It's mercy for me, it's mercy for you. What we've talked about is a total paradigm shift in your life for many of you. It is not easy. And it's an ongoing thing, because the Spirit of God works mightily to bring us to this place. But we have the choice to come down to this place of justice and judgment for all. I am unwilling to judge anyone or condemn anyone, but to love them. Bow your heads, close your eyes as we pray.